What's going on, Rams Nation, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire and at Cam DeSilva. Always keep it locked into the ramswire.usatoday.com for all the latest news surrounding the Rams. And with training camp coming up this week, we've got a little bit of news to cover and preview with the players hitting practice and players reporting to the team. The quarterbacks report on Monday, rookies as well, and then everyone else reports in the coming days. So football is pretty much returning, and it's just about back. It's the last week that we're not going to have an NFL or college game on the schedule, with the Hall of Fame game coming up. College football's coming up pretty soon too. So it's an exciting time after a little bit of a slow off season, as it often is. But obviously the Rams kept it pretty busy throughout the year with all the trades, the signings, and the moves that they made. So we'll get right into it and catch up on a little bit of news that we had from last week. Obviously, LaMarcus Joyner did not get a long-term deal. The Rams, I'm sure, tried their best to get him under contract before Monday's deadline. But with that deadline passing, he's stuck on the franchise tag for the remainder of the year. The Rams can't talk about a contract or sign a new contract with him until the season ends. So he's locked into that franchise tag for the remainder of the season, which isn't a bad thing for him. He only has 1 year of starting experience at safety in the NFL, so he's going to be able to get to prove himself next season and go into 2019 looking for a big long-term contract, which he may or may not get from the Rams. He's making $11.3 million this year alone, which is a huge pay raise from last season. But the Rams have traditionally not paid their defensive backs large sums of money over long-term contracts. We saw that with TJ McDonald. Trumaine Johnson left this offseason. They haven't really given out those big contracts to cornerbacks. And Janoris Jenkins is another one who left for the Giants. So it's a situation to monitor throughout the year. The Rams obviously can't, like I said, they can't sign him to a deal until the season ends. But his play in 2018 is really going to determine how much money he gets on the open market, if he hits the open market next season. The Rams are obviously not going to franchise tag him again because the price is going to rise so much with for a safety of his caliber. Not to say he's not a good player, but to pay a safety $15-17 million is a little bit ludicrous in today's NFL. Where cornerbacks and wide receivers and quarterbacks are getting paid so much more. So Joyner is going to be on the franchise tag, like I said, for this season. And then they'll talk a new contract next year, or they'll let him hit free agency if he doesn't have a great season. The day after that news broke, which is no coincidence because the Rams were definitely talking to Joyner first and trying to work out a contract with him. And when they couldn't, they moved on to Brandon Cooks. He signed a 5-year deal worth $80 million, reportedly. I've seen anywhere between $80 and $81 million total. But that comes out to be $16 million per season, which, not coincidentally, is the same amount that Sammy Watkins got from the Chiefs. He signed a 3-year, $48 million deal there. So Cooks obviously has him beat on the length of the contract, but it's for the same amount annually. So this is an extension. It's not an immediate new contract that's going to wipe out his current 5th-year option. So he's under contract through 2018 on that 5th-year option from when he was drafted by the Saints. The Patriots picked it up last year. So he's still on that, but this extension is going to kick in 2019 and start then. So he's really under contract through 2023, which is that's good news for the Rams. They're getting a wide receiver at pretty much market value in today's NFL. Mike Evans signed a big contract this offseason too. Antonio Brown is obviously the highest paid, and then Odell Beckham is going to get a huge contract in the coming years. But it's pretty much what you would expect for a player of his caliber. He has 3 straight years with 1,000 yards. he's a good player. He's obviously fast, has good athleticism, and he can make big plays downfield. But he's not exactly a complete number one, true go-to wide receiver, and he's not going to be that in Los Angeles. So for fans who are expecting him to be, they're going to be a little bit disappointed because he's not going to get the ball 110 times from Jared Goff. He's not going to be targeted 150 times the way that Antonio Brown and Julio Jones and AJ Green and those top wide receivers are every year, just because of the way that the Rams offense is designed. He's one of three really good wide receivers, with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods obviously being the others. So they're going to get the ball as well. And Goff is not a quarterback, and McVay is not a play caller who's going to force the ball to one player. If one player is going to get the ball a lot, it's going to be Todd Gurley, and he should, because he's arguably the best offensive player in the league right now. But Cooks is not going to be that go-to receiver where you're either just going to throw it up to him and let him go make a play, or you're going to force it into double coverage on an in route over the middle of the field. He's a guy who shies away from contact a little bit. Sean McVay talks all the time about his toughness and how he's willing to go at defenders, but that's not something that I really saw a lot of on tape. But it's in today's NFL where it's short, quick passes and getting the ball into receivers quickly and allowing them to make plays with their feet. He's a good fit for McVay's offense. And it really keeps him intact with Jared Goff for the next few years and allows them to grow and build a chemistry together, which Goff didn't have with Sammy Watkins. And that's part of the reason why the Rams were okay with letting him walk. But it, like I said, it is a bit risky. You haven't seen this player in your offense. You don't know exactly what he's going to be or what he's going to do. And with such a expensive contract like that, if he comes out and catches 60 balls for 1,000 yards and six touchdowns, is that really going to satisfy fans who Rams fans who just saw the team sign him to an $80 million contract? I don't think it's going to, because when you're paying a guy that much money, he should be out there catching 80 passes for 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns. That's obviously a lot to expect from a player, but when you're making that kind of money and you're the fourth highest paid receiver or whatever he is, I think he's fourth, you got to expect that kind of production. And you simply haven't seen Cooks in this offense yet. It's not often that you see a player get traded by a team twice for first round picks, which obviously is a testament to his talent, but you're signing a guy for 5 years before even seeing him take a snap on offense for your team. So I think that's a little bit of a risk there. But it's something that the Rams felt they have to do. They had to do after watching Watkins leave after just one season. Fans obviously weren't happy about that. They gave up a second round pick and EJ Gaines and only to see Watkins leave and bolt for the Chiefs. And that's not something the Rams wanted to face again next season with Cooks. So I think that's part of the reason why they did get him under contract. He's obviously clean off the field. He's a great guy in the locker room. And Sean McVay really raves about him as a person and said he was an easy guy to go to bat for. So there's a lot of good things to like with Cooks. I don't want you guys to think that I'm dogging him or that I think he's a bad receiver. But it's just a lot of money for a player that you haven't seen in your offense. So that's really all. And then it comes down to what the Rams have to do in the next few years with regards to contracts and guys that they have to get new deals for. Just going down the line with players who are going to become free agents in the next few years. You have Aaron Donald next year, LaMarcus Joyner again, Todd Gurley and Marcus Peters and Michael Brockers in 2020, Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp the year after that. So there's a lot of guys who the Rams are going to need to sign. There's a lot of good young talent on this team, and they need to get them under contract. And unlike the NBA, you can't just sign everyone and not have any repercussions. There's a salary cap that they have to handle. They have to worry about other players and free agency and draft picks. And so there's a lot to consider when it comes to contracts in the NFL. And the Rams have to be careful with who they sign. And it's part of the reason why they were so tenuous in free agency this year. they didn't want to A, screw up their compensatory pick formula, and B, they didn't want to strap themselves for the coming seasons when they do have more cap space, but they have even more players to sign. So there's a lot still to be determined as far as the players that they have to sign next season and the year after that. There's just a lot of young talent on this team right now, and signing all of them is not going to be easy. One of those guys, like I said, was Todd Gurley, and he'll become a free agent in 2020. So the Rams do have a little bit of time with him. They have that fifth-year option for 2019, which they already exercised with Marcus Peters too. But he's a guy that he's a guy who's in an interesting situation because of the position that he plays. Running backs have been devalued in recent years, and even though they are going a little bit high in the draft with Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, Saquon Barkley, even Gurley going 10th, they are still going relatively high in the draft, but they're not getting the contracts that other positions are getting. And I talked to Todd about that last week while he was at the Gatorade Athlete of the Year Awards. He talked to me over the phone about a variety of things, but one of the first things that I wanted to ask him about was Le'Veon Bell's franchise tag and the whole contract dispute that he has going on right now with the Steelers. This was shortly after the Steelers announced that there was no deal. Bell's agent said that this was likely his last season with the Steelers. So there's a lot to be determined there in Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. And I asked Todd Gurley about that, and he called it an unfortunate situation. He said, quote unquote, "You love to see guys get paid, but you hate to see guys not get what they deserve." So it's an unfortunate situation that he didn't get a long-term deal and potentially maybe his last year with the Steelers. I don't know what to say about the running back market. I guess they don't want to pay us. So that last part was the most telling, I think, of the whole thing, where teams don't want to pay running backs. And it's true. The Cowboys they've showed signs that they're not going to sign Elliott to a long-term extension when his contract does end. He's had off-the-field issues a little bit. And the running back position is just one where teams chew him up and spit him out and let him hit free agency, let him sign deals that they want, and they'll draft another one in the first or second round the following season. So it's a position where there's so much wear and tear. Guys get hurt so much. You're finding guys like Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, Jordan Howard, where they're having success as mid to late round picks, and they're far cheaper than paying a running back $13, $14 million per season. So it's understandable to see why the Steelers aren't going down that path with Bell, but it's disappointing for guys at the position because they're getting franchise tagged and they're not getting their long-term deals. And that's something that Gurley has to worry about heading into the 2020 season. The Rams obviously love what he does. Sean McVay loves him as a player and as a person. And there's really no reason to believe that he's gonna regress and not be the same player that he was in 2017. But at what price are you willing to pay him to do that? He's really a generational talent with his speed and his power and his quickness and everything that he has. It's everything you look for in a running back. But are they willing to really not blow up the cap, but give him $12, $13, $14 million per season to be a running back and then possibly get hurt and burn out in a few years? That's not something that the Rams have to worry about right now, but not only with the CBA expiring in 2021, but with the franchise tag being so formidable for teams right now, it's looking right now like Todd Gurley is going to be tagged when his contract ends, and it could be for one season, it could be for two. You don't really know, but it's certainly something that he has to be concerned about because running backs aren't getting the long-term deals that they really, quite frankly, deserve. He did say, I asked him about the franchise tag and really what it means for players and what it means for teams, and I'll share one of his quotes, which I wrote a post about, and I'll link to that in the podcast, but he said, quote unquote, It's probably better for teams. Obviously, it's guaranteed, but our number's not that high, especially when you're producing and you're having 80 catches and 1,000 yards each season like he's having. You definitely feel the value in what you carry to the team and what you carry in this league. So you put in the work and you want to get paid for what you've done. So Gurley voicing his opinion there about the franchise tag and really what it means for not only players in general, but players at his position at running back and what it means for them where teams are not exactly showing them the respect that they feel they deserve. And then another thing that I talked to him about, which relates to contracts, is the lockout that he's kind of predicting and thinks might be necessary to get fully guaranteed contracts, which I personally don't think is ever going to happen in the NFL. But he said, for right now, we just need to come together and be prepared. You always have to be prepared. We'll just come together, pull up a couple different ideas, and go from there. That was when I asked him whether he thinks players would be willing to strike and really bring have a work stoppage in the NFL where they have to sacrifice game checks and not really make money. In order to do that, they have to plan right now and save money and prepare for the possibility that there could be a shortened season in 2021, and that they might lose some game checks. He seemed pretty open to the idea that that might happen and didn't seem afraid of that possibility. But he talked about how veterans are teaching the younger guys and how the younger guys are teaching the rookies who are coming in. So it's a testament to what the Rams do as well with their financial literacy program and not paying guys until after OTAs and minicamp and really teaching them about how to save their money and handle their new finances that they come across. So that's just a little bit from the interview that I had with Gurley. I've posted a handful of articles on it already. I'll post a few more. He talked about his top three linebackers in the NFL that he's faced so far. He put CJ Mosley, Bobby Wagner, and Deion Jones in that group, which really shouldn't come as any surprise, especially with Wagner. He's such a good player. Such an instinctive guy and can go sideline to sideline. So no real surprises there. He talked about Jared Goff being a leader and everyone really stepping up after losing Trumaine Johnson, Sammy Watkins, Alec Ogletree, Robert Quinn, all those guys. So he talked about Jared Goff, how he's done a good job. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. So really some good developments there for Goff from Gurley. And he received some high praise from the running back. I did ask him if they have any touchdown celebrations planned for the upcoming season, because they didn't really celebrate much last year, even though they were the league's highest scoring team. He said they need to celebrate a little bit more and find maybe come together and devise something for them to do next season. Moving on to what everyone is going to be talking about this week, and that's training camp. Like I said, quarterbacks and rookies report on Monday. Tuesday is when the majority of the rest of the players report, and then Thursday is when practice starts. So there's a lot of excitement, obviously, surrounding training camp right now. Fans are getting ready for the return of football. It's going to be good to see guys on the field and actually in pads and hitting each other and making plays. So really excited about that, and it's going to be fun to discuss all the young players, the veterans, the newcomers, all the entire roster in Los Angeles is really just exciting right now. And there's some positions where there's uncertainty, like inside linebacker, outside linebacker, and then you got the offensive line where Jamon Brown is suspended at right guard. And then a lot of the other positions, honestly, are pretty much set. Cornerback and safety, the whole secondary is set in stone pretty much. The defensive line with Sue, Donald, and Brockers. And then obviously Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks on offense. No real surprises there. But just to touch on a few guys that I think I'm going to be keeping an eye on and kind of focusing on in the coming weeks in practice. Three of them are linebackers, Corey Littleton, Samson Ebukam, and then Matt Longacre. Those are three guys who are expected to start next season, and they're all replacing veteran players in Connor Barwin, Robert Quinn, and Alec Ogletree. So that's going to be where the biggest changes are coming on this defense and really on this team as a whole. You don't really know what you're going to get from all of them. There's a lot of excitement surrounding them. Wade Phillips has talked about the job that Ebukam has done and how he's certainly going to be a starter. Longacre is still recovering from surgery, so he's expected to be back for the start of training camp. And then Littleton is someone who got a little bit of run last season and had some good plays. He picked off Marcus Mariota. I think he sacked him in the same game too. So it's really a questionable unit, but one that could really surprise a lot of people with strong showings in training camp and in the preseason. And I think Littleton is really a breakout candidate for the Rams in 2018. He's going to be starting next to Mark Barron most likely. It's going to be an athletic combo, but one that really needs to prove they can hold up against the run, and they need to show that. Obviously, being a former safety in Mark Barron, he has good coverage skills, but Littleton has to show that he's an all-around line. He's an all-around good linebacker who can hold up on all three downs. We know what he can do as a blitzer. He has good size, so he's an intriguing player that I'm going to be keeping an eye on through practice and through training camp and in the preseason, especially. And then a few more, Gerald Everett and John Kelly. Everett, obviously, is a different situation than Kelly. He's a second-round pick from 2017. He showed flashes last season at tight end. He has good potential. He's someone that I think the Rams really want to be a Jordan Reed-type player, someone who can split out wide. He can line up in the backfield. The Rams even gave him the ball in a few handoffs and really end-around-type plays last season. That's not something that you see often from tight ends in the NFL, but he's a guy with a good skill set and good speed and athleticism where he can do those sort of things. Right now, I would say Tyler Higbee is penciled in as a starter, but Everett is definitely someone who could leap him and take over that tight end number one role on offense and give Jared Goff another dynamic receiver on the outside or in line as a blocker. He can do a lot of things, but he does have to improve as an all-around tight end. John Kelly, I mentioned, is a rookie running back out of Tennessee. He brings some good explosiveness, which Malcolm Brown, the current backup, doesn't exactly have. The NFL game is obviously different for running backs than it is in college. He has to be a better pass protector. He's a good receiver, but if he wants to be that third down back, he has to prove that his hands are consistent. He can hold up in pass protection if he does spell Gurley on third downs and really just show that he can take care of the football and be an explosive player. Because Malcolm Brown, he's a steady running back. He's gonna average around 4 yards per carry. And if Todd Gurley does, God forbid, go down, he's someone who can handle the workload. He runs between the tackles. He can do things like that. But he doesn't bring that explosiveness that the Rams probably want in their third down back, someone that they can check the ball down to and gain 20, 30 yards on a given play. So that I'm excited to see what Kelly can do. Justin Davis is obviously there too. He's an undrafted rookie from last year, but Kelly is someone that I'm really interested in watching, and I'm excited to see what he can do on the field as potentially that third round back or even just the standard number two running back behind Gurley on the depth chart. And then John Johnson, obviously he had a great season last year and he almost deserved a nod as a Pro Bowler, but in limited action after he didn't get the start initially, he really came on as one of the better young safeties in the NFL. Him and LaMarcus Joyner ranked, I think they were both in the top 15 among safeties for Pro Football Focus. So the talent's definitely there. I just want to see and make sure that he can put it together for another full season and show that he's a high quality safety next to LaMarcus Joyner. That's two guys who can they can do multiple things. They can line up at free strong safety. Joyner's a guy with a lot of slot experience, so he can obviously do that. So it's a good versatile tandem. It's one that doesn't necessarily get enough praise across the NFL among national analysts and the national media. as a whole. So I want to see what John Johnson can do in year two. He should get even better. And it's an exciting time for the secondary with Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and then you got Johnson and Joyner on the back end. So that's just a handful of guys that I'm going to be watching. Those are mostly bigger names. We're going to have guys like Micah Kaiser and Tigre Scales at linebacker who are going to be fun to watch. They're not just fighting for roster spots, but fighting for potentially immediate backup jobs at linebacker. And then on the defensive line, Dominique Easley is coming back. Ethan Westbrooks is someone who can get into a good rotation. And then on the offensive line, Jamil Demby, Joe Noteboom, who is going to try to be that swing tackle. So there's going to be some good competition, which we're going to talk about a lot on Rams Wire on this podcast throughout training camp. And it's going to be exciting to watch. And I think the Rams are going to have really a solid training camp in Sean McVay's second season. The biggest question entering training camp right now is when Donald will show up and whether he will show up at all. He has a soft August 7th deadline, which I've talked about before. That's 30 days before the regular season starts. So he has to be in camp before then if he doesn't want to lose a season toward free agency. If he doesn't show up by that deadline, he's going to be a restricted free agent in 2019, which definitely hurts his chances of signing that huge deal that he really wants right now. So hopefully when he does show up, he'll mesh well. Really, there's no question about it with Sue and Brockers. He's going to slot in as that defensive tackle like he did last season. Brockers will be the end, and then Sue will be the nose tackle in the middle of them all. But it's really a good defensive line that's going to do a lot of great things, I think, next season and take some pressure off of the edge rushers and the linebackers up the middle too. So I'm excited to see Donald back. I have really no worries about whether he'll show up. It's just a matter of when he's going to show up. And fans shouldn't worry about what Cooks' deal means for Aaron Donald's contract situation. They're two completely separate things. Yes, the Rams signed someone who hasn't even played a snap for them before signing Donald, who's the defensive player of the year, but they've said multiple times that they've built into the budget a deal for Donald. And it was even reported, I think it was by Rich Hammond, that the Rams freed up a little bit of space for 2018 by getting this deal done for Cooks. So who knows? Maybe they need to get that deal done before signing Donald to his extension. I'm not overly concerned about that. I wouldn't worry about what Cooks' deal means for Donald, but the sooner he can get into camp, the better it is for the team and for himself and for all the fans anxiously awaiting his arrival. So those are just some of the things I'll be keeping an eye on during training camp. Of course, we'll keep you updated for the next couple weeks during training camp and through practices and things like that. So just be sure to be following us on Twitter at The Rams Wire. You can follow me at Cam DeSilva. And enjoy training camp, and football is finally back, which is great.